Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Golf in the Northwest podcast on 1080thefan.com. Brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on The Fan by the Allen Webb Auto Family, by Laurelhurst Market, and by Area Heating and Cooling. Now with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein. Here's your host, Jason Swigard.
Well, good morning. Welcome to summer. Summer is officially upon us. The Fan Golf Classic is ready for Monday and Tuesday down at Langdon.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy, isn't it?
I know. Are we going to see a Harold Bluestein appearance? I know you haven't got a full arm yet. You're still in flipper mode or whatever it is.
But yeah, I won't be playing, but the appearance fee just came through. The check cleared, so I should be there.
Oh, good. What is it, $6.95 or
something?
What was it on the Gong Show? What did the winners win on the old Gong Show?
Oh, I never watched.
Like $39.27 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was less than $39.27.
Well, we had to take taxes.
Yeah. But I'm going to stop in, see what's happening, particularly the opportunity to swing at a ball and hit you.
Yes, because I'll be there closest to the swag again.
Right.
When you guys check in at noon. And I'll be out doing my updates there until you guys tee off. So Harold might be giving you some mini lessons.
I could do that.
Yeah, you can just help them dial in either if they're trying to hit a high. You know, the trick is to hit the high fade because there's no ceiling.
Right. Yeah,
Harold's giving lessons for free.
Mini lessons. He's just trying.
I'm charging.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Bring a square out there with you, Harold. A little thing on the iPad. You say, hey, I could make that shot better. Let me see your credit card. Where's your Amex?
Yeah. That's cool. It'll be fun. I think I will go out and give some lessons to people. And, you know, a good lesson right before you play.
Don't let them mess you up. Business.
It could be a seven-hour round.
That and our friends, Maya, will be with Pelican Brewing. She'll be out on the 10th hole again. That'll mess you up, too. So.
Right.
It's okay. A great time had by all. We're looking forward to it again. 6th annual Fan Golf Classic presented by Allen Webb.
Yeah, a lot of fun for the listeners to come out and have an opportunity to play and
you bet.
And to rub elbows with the celebrities that are us.
That's true. We are minor celebrities. We got a lot to get to today. A lot of help coming up later in the show. Tyler Morris is the director of youth programming and development for the OGA. And now that the kids are all out of school, those that are looking to play some golf, some opportunities to help them play a lot of golf without gouging your wallet this summer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different programs. And so Tyler will help us understand how to get involved with those, how to get signed up properly so you can take advantage of everything that the OGA has laid out for kids to enjoy golf without needing extra financing to do it.
Yep, there are competitive and non-competitive events. Golf, little statistical information, fastest growing sport among youth, which is absolutely fantastic. And it's people like Tyler and Shonda and professionals all over the Northwest that have participated in growing golf, particularly among young people. Tyler's going to tell us what the OGA is doing.
Fantastic. And then Pete Samuels, director of marketing for Ping Golf, going to join us, talk a little bit about how their line of equipment continues to develop. And yes, I'm in the market for a new driver. I've kind of had it with mine. So,
well, they do. Yeah, every 20 years, you should probably get a new driver.
Yeah, 5, 6, I think, 7. I've had mine, so it's time.
Yeah. Well,
it's not about hitting bad shots, because that's on me. It's when I catch it clean.
Yeah. And it's still crooked?
And no, when it's more about trying to enhance some distance.
Oh, okay.
And I catch it clean, pure, swing right through it. Tee doesn't move. And it's like 210.
Yeah, that could be something, have a lot to do with your workout regimen.
What workout regimen?
There you go.
Well, we'll do that.
So we're going to... A new driver may bump you up to 215, 220.
Well, I'll take anything I can get right now. So that's coming up in the second half of the show. We're going to recap a little bit the main storylines coming out of the U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka winning back-to-back, just his third win from the PGA Tour. Two of them are U.S. Opens. That's kind of odd. Phil's meltdown on Saturday. How big a deal really is it? Or was it just so shocking that nobody quite knew how to process it? And Spieth and McIlroy all of a sudden can't seem to put their games together when the lights shine brightest. And so with two more majors and a Ryder Cup, curious if they got time to get it together. So we'll get your thoughts on that. But as always, we start by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest, brought to you on the fan by the Allen Webb Auto family.
All right, all five tours back in action after the U.S. Open dominated play last week. The European Tour is in Puhlheim, Germany, for the BMW International Open at Golf Club Gut Lachendorf. Larkenhoff. I don't know.
Good work.
I took German. That was the one language I took many, many years ago. Scott Hend of Australia is your leader at 6-under par. Third round coverage going on right now. Some names here in this event, although they are not at the top of the leaderboard. Martin Keimer is 3-under. That right now is good. Tied for 7th. David Lipsky, the American, who's playing on the European Tour at 2-under. Thomas Peters, one of the big bombing Belgians, 2-under par. Sergio is playing in this event. He's 1-under so far. So a little bit to keep an eye on there in Germany as they start, the European Tour starts working up towards the British Open at Carnoustie next month. Champions Tour is in Wisconsin. That, of course, means Steve Stricker is playing, and he is leading 8-under after round one. He's got a one-shot lead over Brad Bryant. Colin Montgomery, John Daly, Steve Flesch, all at 5-under par. Strix is only, he's still playing both sides. He's fourth on the money list, but he's only played like 4 or 5 events. He's won 2 of them. So he could get another victory today and give Bernhard Langer some challenge for the Charles Schwab Cup.
Yeah, he's at the perfect situation. You know, he could still play on the main tour. He's not as effective, played okay at the U.S. Open. For a really tough golf course and a guy who's not made to play that tough a golf course. But he's cherry-picking on the Champions Tour. And, you know, Colin Montgomery is 112 years old. John Daly drinks too much
beer.
His
liver's 112 years old.
Yeah, exactly. John Daly's liver, I think he's on his third liver. So he's taking advantage of these guys. You got Mark Kelkovecki, who's got for playing. These are guys that I remember reading about when I was a kid, you know, and I'm not a kid anymore. So he's kind of beaten up on these old guys, but he's playing well.
He's playing well.
Starts out with a 64, and there's a good possibility he's going to walk away with this one. Brad Bryant still plays some very good golf, and I know he is one of the old guys who can still really knock it around.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys at 4-under. Calc, you mentioned for Plank, Jeff Sluman, Billy Mayfair, of course, Bernhard Langer. You can't have a Champions Tour without him. Rocco Mediate, good to see him. 4-under. Kenny Perry at 3-under, one of the guys that can still play fairly well, too. So that'll be a fun event. The web.com tour in Wichita, the Wichita Open Crestview Country Club. And Scott Pinckney is your leader, 9-under after 36 holes. Round 3 is underway. And Wyndham Clark, the former Oregon Duck, is putting a round together. He's 5-under through 11. He's vaulted up to a tie for 8th right now, 55 spots up the leaderboard. He's 11th on the money list coming in. So another one or two good finishes or a victory will all but clinch his PGA Tour card for next year.
Yeah, I can't wait to get these guys back into Portland and watch them play and compete for those 25 cards. This is some exciting golf these guys are going through. Kansas, my first golf job in the business was in Kansas, Kansas City.
Oh, there you go.
Blue Hills Country Club. Say hi to all those people out of Blue Hills Country Club. And one thing I remember about Kansas is you can watch your dog run away for 3 days. It was a lovely place, especially
not a lot of, elevation change, you're saying out there.
The summers were just wonderful. And the winters, you know, you could play golf all winter long. I couldn't wait to get out of Kansas. Anyway, we'll see these guys in Portland where the weather's a little nicer.
No question. And had a chance to meet the new tournament director for the Winco Foods Portland Open, presented by Kraft Heinz. Ryan played with him out of Pumpkin on Wednesday. Course is in fantastic shape. The greens are just rolling. Now, I had hands of stone, so it was – but once I dialed it back just a hair
– yeah.
It's going exactly where you hit it. If you mishit it, it's going to end up 5 feet from the hole. But if you get it online, it'll just roll all day. It's beautiful out there.
Yeah, when they get that golf course in good condition, there's nothing else in the area that as good as Pumpkin Ridge.
Yep. Media day coming up Monday, July 23rd. Wyndham Clark will actually be there, so he'll we'll get his thoughts on how he's rolling into shape. Hopefully, he'll have a good finish, maybe even a win. To discuss. The women are in Arkansas for the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship presented by P&G in Rogers, Arkansas. They're playing Pinnacle Country Club. Just a 54-hole event. Minji Lee is 10 under. They have started the second round today. Celine Boutier of France, Nasa Haraoka of Japan at 9 under. Austin Ernst in a group at 7 under with Lizette Salas, Moira Jutanagarn, one of the Jutanagarn sisters, Anna Nordqvist and Aria Jutanagarn, Lexi Thompson at 6 under. So there was a log jam there. Sandra Gall at 5 under. Stacey Lewis, Shanshan Feng all at 5 under. So a nice leaderboard. Lydia Ko as well. Brittany Lincecum, Pernilla Lindberg. So a good field here for the ladies. So-Yeon Yu finally won for the first time in about a year last week. And she had been playing so well, but hadn't put it together for a victory. So she got her 6th victory of her professional career, one of the top Korean players on tour.
This is a really good event in Arkansas, and I don't have anything odd to say about Arkansas. I drove through it once. But this is a good event on a very good golf course. Not a real hard golf course, evidently, because there's only 26 of 144 players that didn't break par.
Yeah.
So they're putting up some good numbers, but that's fine. Every now and then you need a golf course where you can
You can go at pins and make birdies. And with all the weather difficulty that the ladies have had through May and in the early part of June, I think it's probably helpful for all of them to have a course they can just fire away at and start feeling good as they get into. They've got some more majors coming up here a little bit later. PGA Tour is in Cromwell, Connecticut, the Travelers Championship, TPC River Highlands, the week after the U.S. Open. Brian Harman, the little lefty out of Georgia, 10 under par is your leader. Matt Jones, the Aussie, along with Russell Henley, Zach Johnson at 9 under par, Bryson DeChambeau, Paul Casey, Bo Hostler at 8, at 7 is Bubba, Rory. So you've got a great field. Brooks Koepka, the U.S. Open champion, bouncing back. He's 5 under, so he is in contention, not having that that normal hangover from being a major champion. Just all the media commitments and all of those sorts of things can just drain you. So we'll talk about Brooks a little bit, why he hasn't been more successful. He's demonstrated the game to win back-to-back U.S. Opens. But congratulations to the Travelers for... Look, that's a tough spot on a calendar to be the week after a major.
I can't imagine.
To get a field like this.
Yeah.
And they roll out the welcome wagon. They understood what it means. There's a charter flight there Sunday night after the U.S. Open to get guys out. They make it easy for the guys. The hospitality, you'll hear players talking about it all week. The hospitality is fantastic. they took to heart where their place was on the calendar and made it a personal sort of thing to make it easy and accommodating and the hospitality for the guys understanding everything that goes into a U.S. Open.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming out, I know that I feel a little bit let down after a major tournament, and I come in here and I'm bright and cheery after, you know, great competition last week. But now here, and you didn't send a car for me or anything, but I did show up, and we're going to, and they do the same thing at the Travelers.
Yeah.
They make these guys feel really welcome. They get them, and look at the field. I mean, really, there's, Phil's not playing, but he's probably a good thing he isn't. He'd take a lot of heat this week.
Yeah.
But the, you know, you've got Rory McIlroy and Bubba Watson, Jason Day, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, all these guys who played last week. Some made the cut, some didn't make the cut. It was a tough tournament last week. And to come into the week after, particularly as exhausting as the U.S. Open was and the challenge that the USGA made that golf course, to come in the next week and feel like, okay, I can play again. I can relax a little bit. And, you know, sometimes you just want to take a break.
Yep.
And evidently, the Travelers are saying to these folks, take your break the following week. Let's
yeah,
have you
it'll
over
be,
here.
Well, and there'll be the transition as then the guys, a lot of them take the next week off, and then some of them like to get over to Great Britain.
Right.
You know, they might play in the Irish Open or something like that to get adjusted to the time zone and the weather and links golf if they haven't played anything for a little bit. So, yeah, the Travelers done a really good job of putting that together for everybody. So should be a fun week there. Of course, CBS and Golf Channel will have coverage for you on the weekend. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the U.S. Open a little bit. A lot of big things. Koepka, back-to-back winner. Phil, his meltdown on Saturday. And what happened to some of the other guys like Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy, who just had awful weeks there. There's no other way to put it. That as we continue here, Golf of the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
This is Golf in the Northwest, brought to you by the Allen Webb Auto Family, by Laurelhurst Market, and by Area Heating and Cooling on 1080 The Fan.
8:20 here this morning. Jason Swigart, Herbert Bluestein with you. Coming up, Tyler Morse, Director of Youth Programming and Development for the OGA at 8:30, and then Pete Samuels, Director of Marketing for Ping Golf at 8:45. Of course, we got another dozen golf balls to give away this week, courtesy of Sphera Golf, SPHERAGolf.com. Get your choice of the Pro 3s or the Pro 4s. If you send in our code word for the day sometime before the end of the show, it will be Umbrella, U-M-B-R-E-L-L-A. Umbrella is the code word this week. It's kind of clever.
Yeah, I guess it is. I forgot Travelers and their logos and Umbrella, and I think that's pretty good.
There you go. Text that into 55305. Message and data rates will apply. And listen for that callback if you're the winner on Monday from our promotions department. They'll let you know how to pick up those golf balls. We'll give that out again once more before the show is over. But looking back on the U.S. Open, kind of three major themes. Obviously, Brooks Koepka surviving Sunday there to win back-to-back U.S. Opens, which isn't done very often. Curtis Strange, the last one to do it. Mm-hmm. That is a short list. And especially in kind of the modern era of golf.
Ben Hogan.
Yep.
And Curtis Strange and now Brooks Koepka, and go figure. That's so hard to do, to win back-to-back U.S. Opens.
Yeah.
Particularly when you go, last year's was a cakewalk. The golf course wasn't very difficult. And it seems like the USGA flip-flops from year to year. Well, we don't want anybody 10 under, so we're going to make sure that the winning score is over par. And then they go over par. Well, the players aren't happy, so I think we'll make it a little easier the following year. And guys end up 10 under par again. And so it's kind of a ridiculous USGA manipulation of the golf course and of the tournament, which I think is ludicrous.
Well, in Shinnecock Hills, it had, you know, there was the last time they were there when the seventh green conditions were, it was scorching hot, and it just got baked out. And they couldn't get any moisture in there whatsoever on that you know, the seventh green on the par three, and it was a circus.
Yeah, but they had the same situation this year.
But the conditions were, from a heat standpoint, but it was green. It was looking lush. The wind kicked up on the opening day, and then so that was tough on everybody. They got a little bit of mist and rain Friday morning. Mm-hmm. Dustin Johnson fought through both of those. He was set up to win that, and then a 77 on Saturday. What happened Saturday? Because Sunday you saw, I mean, Tommy Fleetwood goes out and shoots early 63 mm-hmm. to tie Johnny Miller and others for the lowest round in U.S. Open history. I'm sure there was a big conference with the USGA between Saturday night and Sunday morning in terms of pin placements, how much water they were going to put on the greens, where they put the tees, that yep. sort of thing.
They absolutely soaked it Saturday night because they realized that the setup they had on, I think, 13, 14, and 15, where it gets a lot of wind in that area, and when you put a pin in a tough spot where the wind can really affect it, that's when Zach Johnson says they lost the golf course. Well, they didn't lose the golf course. They had a stupid setup on those three holes and several others. So, but that's the USGA again, not realizing that, you know, there could be some issues. They underestimated how much breeze there will be. You know, we have a lot of...
there's a lot of technology and stuff now.
Yeah, exactly. So...
I just look at things. I look at people, you know, I see some shots, approach shots. They're 15, 20 feet on the green.
Yeah. And
still can't hold it. Either they bounce and rappel off the back or on a false front, it won't have enough hold where then it's 30 yards back in the fairway.
Well, I was
reading. Guys hit good shots. Maybe they're not perfect.
Right.
But you shouldn't have to hit a perfect shot just to hold the green.
Well, the USGA wants perfect shots. And unfortunately, we're not machines, so you don't have perfect shots. I was reading an interesting article about how the USGA went in and rebuilt Shinnecock's greens in the green complexes. And from what I can read is that there's a lot of sand base there. So when they're rebuilding the green, sand from previous years and how it was building up in certain areas and how it was compressed, and I don't want to get too technical here, made it very difficult to have a variety of pin placements. So they had actually backed themselves into a corner where it was difficult to set a pin in some places. So you talk about a perfect shot. Well, there wasn't a good place to put the pin on some of these greens. Sunday, though, they stuck that pin right in the middle of the green. They soaked the golf course so that Tommy Fleetwood could come out and shoot a 63. They couldn't have been happy about that. If there were like three or four of those, they would have been unhappy. But then again, why not reward excellence?
Yeah.
And my way of thinking, the USGA, in a sense, they think they reward excellence, but they don't. They allow mediocre play. And with all due respect to Daniel Berger and Tony Finau, because they were rewarded, I would say, or allowed to play in the last group for playing average golf the first 2 days.
Yeah.
So where Johnson played great golf the first 2 days. So I think there's a little too much fooling around with the USGA. And then again, Phil Mickelson on 13.
Yeah, so everybody, obviously it was a shock to the eyeballs for anybody. You just don't see PGA Tour players. I can't remember ever.
No, you don't
purposely,
see.
Purposely, you know, whacking a golf ball back up like you're on mini golf.
Yeah.
So there's the shock of what the heck. And then it was Phil. It wasn't somebody that's just out there duffing around.
If it had been anybody else, it would have been DQ'd. My opinion. I think it's.
But is it that big a deal, or was it just a shock to the system and we didn't know how to react to it?
Well, it was a shock, but quite frankly, I would never do something like that. I'm a professional. I wouldn't even consider it. And I know that amateurs might, goofing around, might consider, well, wait a minute, I'm going to stop that ball. I don't want to roll. But a professional doing something like that is very stupid. And then his explanation of why he did it he's been sitting back thinking about how he can take advantage of the rules. I don't understand that explanation. And then finally to come out with an apology. I think the whole thing is taints Phil's image in my mind. It may not bother anybody else because he's done so many other great things, but somehow this negative taints him. And I just think that there's no excuse for it at all. I was very disappointed in him. And regardless whether it's him or any other professional, I don't think this was the right kind of behavior. And I think the USGA, it was a serious breach. I don't give a damn what you think otherwise. This was a serious breach, and he should have been disqualified right then and there.
All right.
Yeah. That's,
we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and now I know you don't feel as strongly as I do about it.
I don't, but that's why I wanted your opinion.
Yeah.
Is it just because, I don't know if it's that big a deal. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Well, but you haven't played this game professionally.
No, exactly.
And you haven't, the rules are designed to protect the field.
Yeah.
And our behavior and on the golf course is to protect other players against ourselves and what our opinions are. And I think Phil basically said, screw the rules. I'm going to do what the hell I feel
like. I think it was a total shot at the USGA. He had had it. I think he was conscious of what he was doing more than he let on.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to stick it to Mike Davis. Watch this.
Yeah, it was a brain fart.
Yeah.
From the get-go. And he should have just said, you know what? That's exactly what it was. I lost my mind. It's stupid. Let's move on from here. I would have appreciated that and would have forgiven him for that, but I still would have DQ'd him.
No question. We're out of time. We got to get to Tyler. We didn't get to Brooks Koepka, who has 3 PGA Tour victories, and 2 of them are U.S. Opens, which is weird.
Yeah, only Andy North did the same thing. So, I mean, that's – and we kind of laugh about Andy North now. We go, this guy, what did he do? Well, he won 3 PGA
events. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Incidentally, two of them were U.S. Open. And yeah, Brooks Koepka, I think Koepka is a way better player than Andy North.
Well, he's only 28.
Yeah.
So he should. I'm waiting for the run. We can talk about that down the road as we still got two more majors and a Ryder Cup. And Brooks probably going to put himself in position to be on that team either as a captain's pick or by qualifying. So we'll do that. But we want to get to Tyler Morris here when we come back. Time to talk to the pros. He's the director of youth programming and development at the OGA. How to take advantage of their programs for the youth golfer in your family as we make the turn here. Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Bluestein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
Jason Swigart, Harold Bluestein back here with you. It is time to Ask the Pro, and we are going to go to our buddy Tyler Morris joining us here this morning, Director of Youth Programming and Development for the OGA. Good morning, Tyler. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. I know school is finally out for everybody, so a lot of parents looking for ways to keep their little ones, younger ones, busy and active this summer. And I know the OGA's got a lot of different programs for youth golf. And before we get into some of the specifics, though, just how thriving is youth golf participation that the OGA is able to track here in the state of Oregon and in Southwest Washington as well?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And as Harold put it earlier, it is the fastest growing sport for the youth. And our numbers definitely show that. We have seen pretty consistent growth over the past 3 years now. Participation's up. And so from what we can see, junior golf is in a pretty healthy state here in Oregon.
So, Tyler, I'm a parent. I'm looking for a place for my kids. And they're all going to go to the internet. They're all going to Google junior golf. What are they going to find when they get to the OGA site?
Yeah, well, you know, junior golf these days can be difficult to navigate for parents. There's so many different programs that are available now. At the Oregon Junior Golf website, perhaps the most popular program you're going to find is the Youth on Course. The Youth on Course is a program that offers kids the ability to play 60 different courses in Oregon and almost 1,000 across the United States now for only $5, green fees of $5 at most. At the moment, we now have over 1,000 cardholders in Oregon, and just to give you an idea of the growth of it and the popularity, in 2015, we had 507. In 2016, 750. And last year, we had over 1,000 cardholders. So that's pretty good evidence of the growth of junior golf here in the state.
So how do they go about getting one of these cards? Do they have to be approved to play? What's the process?
Yeah, so first and foremost, they need to join Oregon Junior Golf, get an Oregon Junior Golf membership. Which is very easy to do. You just go to the website. It takes a few minutes to sign up. That's $30 to get your membership. And once you have that, you just need to pass a short quiz on etiquette. It takes no more than 5-10 minutes to take the quiz online. And after that, that's it. We send them the card in the mail a few days later, and they can play at, like I said, now 60 courses across Oregon, and that's growing by the week. So it's a great program, and again, we're seeing it blow up nationally, too. The Met section, I know, just signed on, Harold's old stomping ground.
Yeah.
And so it's really the largest and most popular junior golf initiative we've seen in the last few years. So go on.
Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, so we're really proud of where it is. It is totally funded by the Jacobson Youth Initiative in Oregon Junior Golf. So we do rely on donations to fund this program. And really the only way for us to grow it to more courses is by donations. I think we subsidized almost $40,000 of junior golf last year, which equated to about 6,000 rounds for kids across Oregon and Southwest Washington.
That's fantastic. And all that information, again, at the website, oga.org, there's a header for junior golf, all those programs. Now, for some of the younger golfers who have shown some aptitude, some skill, opportunities for more competitive sorts of events, how can they get involved in those?
Yeah, so at the same website, you'll find a few different options or junior golf tournaments. We have non-competitive nine-hole events, which is the Erling Jacobson Tour, which is named after the father of Peter and David Jacobson. We have 15 of those throughout the summer, which, again, are non-competitive. They're really just meant for the kids to go out and have a good time. They get prizes. They get Chipotle sponsors the tour, so they get burritos and chips. And all that only costs them $10. So nine holes, prizes, lunch. So we really take good care of them. And again, that whole tour is dependent on donations as well. But we also offer our major championships and sanctioned events. This next week, actually, the junior golf will be in Astoria for the 88th playing of the Bob Norquist Junior Amateur, which is by most people's take, the largest golf tournament in Oregon and most prestigious one.
Tyler, I want to clarify something because it's extremely important that people realize that the reason junior golf is growing is because we're making it affordable. And when a golf course gives up its tee times for these kids at $5, there's an offsetting cost that has to go back to the golf courses. And this is where the donations are so important. I know the PGA is an officer in the PGA. We donate money to youth on course and to these programs. And we want to emphasize the importance of donations to help these kids play and to develop at a grassroots level at an affordable cost.
Yeah, and I think you hit it right on the nose. You know, the Jacobson Youth Initiative does supplement $5 to $10 per round that the youth on course cardholder plays. Again, that's where the donations come in, as you mentioned. So they are very important. David Jacobson has been instrumental, to say the least, in our fundraising efforts. There's also a fundraiser we got going on right now, the Bandon Dunes Raffle on our website, where a $25 raffle ticket will get you a chance to win two foursomes and two nights stay down at Bandon Dunes Resort.
And this is all at the junior golf page at the OGA.org website. You know, we see Gigi Stoll doing well at the University of Arizona. She's somebody that came up through the ranks. How has the development and the time and the effort and the donations that's been put in to junior golf at the OGA level and with the PGA chapter, how have local area golfers been producing and at the to get high school tournaments and champions as well as you know, on to college and for the rare one, the making it as a professional?
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty obvious that we've been very successful. You look at Gigi Stoll, as you mentioned, who won the team championship for Arizona. The year previous, Monica Vaughn was a Oregon junior golfer, and she won the individual title. We see Soman Raza, who grew up in Eugene, who played at Shinnecock Hills and obviously had a successful career at the University of Oregon. Obviously one of Harold's students, Alistair Dougherty, has been very successful as well. And, you see it, in the collegiate ranks here too. We have a very strong cast of junior golfers that, are playing for Division I schools now.
It's all great work that you guys are doing. Again, OGA.org, look for the, junior golf, section in the that menu there. You can find out all about it. It's got how you can contact Tyler as well for more information. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes for us this morning, Tyler.
Appreciate it, guys. And I have to give a quick shout out to a few of my EJ Tour players, Allison, Jack, and Isabella. Practice up for Tuesday at Glen De Vere, all right?
All right, there we go. Tyler Morse, thanks so much. Thanks. Good to talk to Tyler again. All the information, OGA.org. Click on the junior golf tab and all that information is there. Quickly, we need to get to a break because Pete Samuels, director of marketing for Ping Golf, going to join us, tell us about their newest developments in their line of clubs as we continue on Golf of the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf, every week on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Area Heating and Cooling.
8:48 here this morning, wrapping things up again. The code word for the dozen Sphera golf balls is Umbrella, U-M-B-R-E-L-L-A. Text it to 55305 for your chance to win a dozen golf balls, either the Pro 3s or the Pro 4s. Message and data rates do apply. Very pleased to be welcoming on now in the business of golf, Director of Marketing for Ping Golf, Pete Samuels, kind enough to take a few minutes this morning. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. And as we get into it, I know the evolution of technology seems to speed up faster and faster as it relates to clubs and equipment for the avid to serious golfer. And Ping has always been at the forefront of that innovation. And just in general, where has Ping gone with it to arrive at its latest lines and additions of clubs?
Well, that's a great question. So we've been at it for almost 60 years now. So next year will be our 60th anniversary. So we've been developing and designing product for a long time. And as you said, it moves at a much faster pace these days. But you know what it comes down to really is just making that next product a little bit better than the last one. So the way we do that is through, you know, a commitment to engineering and research and innovation, and really looking forward to new, whether it's materials or processes or whatever it might be. You know, you always have to be looking forward a couple of years so that when you unlock that secret, you can drop it into your latest product. So it's really just about, you know, making each one a little bit better. And obviously the golfer in the end is the one who's going to benefit with that product. And, you know, the next thing they need to do is obviously get custom fit for that product, because that's really how we're going to optimize it for their game based on a number of variables.
So, Pete, let me ask you about custom fitting. What is your process in doing such?
Well, you know, it varies by product category, but, you know, the company pioneered fitting back in the late 60s, really with the Ping color code chart, which was primarily, you know, a tool for fitting iron. So, you know, we look at the player's height and wrist to floor, and we have a chart, and we sort of make a recommendation based on that as a starting point. But then we really, really encourage golfers to go see, you know, a certified, trained Ping fitter who knows our processes, has all the tools. And in recent years, you know, it's really the driver that's gotten more attention from a fitting perspective through the advent of launch monitors and other technologies that really allows the fitter to look at things like your launch angle and your spin and your ball speed and a number of variables that really allow them to dial in a club that's going to work best for you.
Well, we were talking earlier before we went on the air, and my co-host, Jason, has a launch angle somewhere between 0 and 90 degrees. So he hits it sideways. So other than that, he said he needs a new driver.
Aim a little bit the other direction.
That's exactly. Yeah. I tell him, keep aiming further left there, Swag. So now you've got a number of drivers on the market. Some are for better players. Some are player development drivers. How are we going to help my co-host with a driver?
Well, yeah, so we currently have the G400 driver line, and there's four options in that. So, again, I don't like to necessarily fit over the radio,
sure.
But based on what you said, it sounds like, you know, we have what we call the G400 SFT, which is straight flight technology. So primarily designed for players that, you know, hit it to the right, assuming they're right-handed, more often than they'd like. So the straight flight technology, as it sounds, helps bring that ball flight into a straighter pattern. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And with drivers especially, we have to be careful that we don't necessarily pigeonhole a particular model to a certain player type. It's a nice guide, but on occasion, you know, for example, the G400 Max, which is our most forgiving driver, some people might just think that's for a less accomplished player. But the reality is probably on the PGA Tour, half of our guys use the G400 Max because they like a little bit of forgiveness too, and it allows them to swing even harder at the ball. So, but he sounds to me like he'd be a straight flight technology candidate, at least as a starting point.
No question. We'll have to get out and check that out. Now, I did. I was fitted for some I-15 irons a few years back, a few generations back. Now, and the nice thing about Ping, and from what I understand, all that information from that fitting is still on file, correct?
Yeah, depending where you got fit, but in theory, yes. And the other nice thing is that club has a serial number on it, which is stored with us. So we know all the specs for that particular set. If you were to call in with your serial number, we could pull that right up and tell you exactly what the specs were of that particular set.
Which is really a great, once you're a customer of Ping, you're forever a customer of Ping. And I know as a professional and fitting people, we really appreciate that customer service.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And we definitely are. That's our goal, is to create a customer for life. Cause as I said, we've been around 60 years and, you know, that's the plan to continue. And we have a lot of, a team back here in Phoenix that comes in every day with the goal of creating that type of customer.
I was looking on the website, and we're all familiar with drivers and hybrids and irons, wedges and putters, but you've got one category here that is new to me, and it's called a crossover. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, but so it's kind of between a, you know, a hybrid and an iron. So originally that's where the hybrid came as a combination of a metal wood and an iron. So the crossover sort of crosses over into that iron/hybrid world. And right now what we do is we offer, you know, kind of the 3, 4, and 5 crossover, which is a nice replacement for a long iron or a hybrid. So, you know, it's one of those things where you want to go out and get fit and test it and see where the crossover might, you know, fit into your game. So, you know, they're really long. So if you're looking for distance, you know, a crossover is a great way to go. But what's interesting about the crossover is some of our learnings from that is we've been able to take some of that technology into our newest iron, which is the G700 iron, which has more of that hollow body, which is what a crossover is, but it's more iron. Obviously, it's an iron. It's not a crossover. So lots of categories, and it's easy to get confused with all the options. And that's why we always encourage people to get back into that fitting environment. Test the club. Talk to a fitter who understands gapping and, you know, can really look at your ball flight.
And you can find that at the website, ping.com. You can learn all about the different lines of equipment as well as where you can go to get fitted properly. Pete Samuels, unfortunately, we're out of time here this morning. We'd love to bring you back down the road and talk more with you. Pete Samuels, Director of Marketing for Ping Golf. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you. You know where to find me. I'm happy to come on anytime. Take care.
All right. Take care. Pete Samuels there. Like I said, I've been playing those I-15 irons now for a couple of years. And when struck properly, very, very comfortable, very able to control it. But yeah, I'm going to check out these crossovers. And but you can go online, just type in your address or your zip code. You'll find a fitter near you here in the Portland market.
And Ping is American made. So
yep, right down there in Phoenix.
Absolutely. So it's one of the few companies I'm aware of that is American made.
So there you go. Thanks again to Pete. Thanks to Tyler Morse, Director of Youth Programming Development at the OGA. Thanks to Will Darkins as well, Center and Saint. Coming up next, we got Major League Baseball for you at 12:30 today. And of course, the Allen Webb presents the 6th Annual Fan Golf Classic Monday and Tuesday out at Langdon. For Harold, I'm Jason. Hit him straight.
It's coming into the player's face.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.